Go ahead and be opening up to 2 Corinthians. Tim Stemple taught the early service. If you weren't here, you need to get that message. There was a handout given. I'm sure they'll probably have the handout available when the message appears at the website. You can probably download the PDF file, I would think. That message is pivotal for where we're going this year. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, by the way. We'll be there in a minute. We've entered into a new season. It's a season that the Lord actually began preparing us for many years ago. We're coming into harvest time now. How many of you are glad for the journey that you've been on so far? I am too. I thank God that I know I'm different. See, this year marks mine and Sue's 22nd year being at the prayer center. We're thinking about making it our home church now. We're thinking about it. You know, don't do things quickly. We're in a hurry. I know I'm not, and she's not, the same people that walked through the door of the prayer center back in 1992. And we're both mouthing, thank God for that. I thank God for the change, the strongholds that have come down. But I also know there's strongholds still within me. I'm not going to talk about Sue now. I'm talking about me. And here's the scary thing. Some of them I know. What scares me is the ones that I probably don't know. You probably know those better than I do, but you're too nice to tell me. You know? But we are coming into a harvest time, coming into a revival. I truly believe that. At the end of Tim's message this morning, he dismissed this and he said, well, wait a minute, one more thing. And he mentioned the word trust. That's a word we ought to write down and meditate on. Make sure we have a handle on trust. And what he didn't know is I'm sitting over there knowing I have the second service. And the only verse that kept coming to me this morning was one here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going, Lord, that's a pretty heavy verse. You sure that's the one you want for the service today? But see, what Tim doesn't know is that little thing about trust. I know it was for the whole body, but really it was for me. Well, let me show you what I mean. At least it was especially for me, or it helped me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. This is the verse that I kept hearing for this service. Paul says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not what? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And I kept hearing that verse, and I think I know what he wants to teach from it. But I wasn't sure. That's a pretty heavy verse. If you've never studied that verse out, that phrase, the sentence of death, it's a military term. And in modern day, let's picture in your mind World War II. Just picture in your mind. It's a military term. And you're in a platoon that has charged ahead, and you've pushed back the enemy, and you have conquered a hill. You've got it. You've captured this hill. You've taken it from enemy ground. But now what's happened, the enemy has pushed back and surrounded that hill. And you've got a short amount of time where there's an avenue of retreat available for you. And you radio headquarters. That's the way we would do it today. Back then they would have sent a messenger. But you radio headquarters and say, we've captured the hill. If we stay here, it means certain death. We can retreat, but we're waiting for your orders. Do we retreat or do we stay? And then the sentence, that means the answer, came back. Stay and die. That's where we are this year. If you stay, you're going to come to the place this year where you no longer trust in yourself. Your agendas are over, or you're going to be gone. And that's okay. You'll make heaven. But we're pressing for revival. This is not a church for the barely make heavensers. Is that a phrase? Barely make heaveners? I love Alan's definition of religion. It's absolutely true. I believe it. That's where you honor God with your mouth, but you live your own life with your own will. And that is religion. You might say all the right things, sing all the right songs, wear all the right clothes, come to all the services, but it really comes right down to it. Bless God, if there's danger, I'm booking it. I'm out of here. I'm not going to stay and die. What's wrong with you? Well, was God just being mean to them? Let's back up a little bit. Let's do our meditation thing just a little bit. Verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength." Sounds to me like they attended the prayer center. "Insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, see, in their case, when I counsel you, it's not just that. Hey, I struggle with things myself. You think Sue and I are immune to the attacks of the enemy? Physically, emotionally, financially, and every other way? Man. You know, the enemy, he'll try and always tell you that God's being mean to you or singled you out or doesn't have your best interest in mind. Well, what do you think it, what kind of thoughts comes to Paul when all he's doing is obeying God in Ephesus, what he's talking about here? And they, the crowd so turned on him and those traveling with him that it looked like for a little while they was going to kill him. Putting him in prison was really to rescue him. Left him in the crowd, they'd probably die. What kind of thoughts do you think the enemy sends? He's abandoned you. He's left you. So Paul says the reason that we received that sentence of death was for one purpose only. Now look at it in your Bible. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves. How many messages have been coming forward here recently about we, all of us, Sue and I, Mark, Alan, everybody I've known, Dave, everybody I've known that's walked this path. You had to come to that place where you gave up trying to fix it yourself. Problems come and you fix it, you know, and then problems. That's what human beings do, you know. That's what we fix it, right? But see, as long as it's like that, then he has to lead you in deeper. Yes, sir. I'm reminded right now. Yes, sir. And I can't turn to it. You're just going to have to trust me. It's in your Bible. One of the prophets saw a vision of a river. That river is a type of the Holy Ghost. Remember what Jesus said? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost. In that vision of this prophet, he says, I was led into this river. And first the waters were ankle deep. And it's not a lake, it's a river. A lake, the waters are usually stagnant. But in a river, the water's flowing and you can feel the current. But when you only walk out into the water ankle deep, you still got control. Isn't that right? Most of the time. But he says, then I was led further into the river. And the water eventually became knee deep. Then it was up to the hips. And you're really feeling the current now, but your feet are still touching the bottom. See, and this could fit. You fix it, and you fix it because your feet are still touching the bottom. You can still do things. He has to keep leading you deeper because eventually it says, but the next step that I took, it became waters for swimming. See, and once your feet leave touching that bottom and you step out deep enough, you're not in control anymore. Now the current has you. And you're going to go which way the current goes. Even though you can swim, that current's still in control. That's the Holy Ghost. That's where God's taking us this year. Your feet are about to leave the shore, my friend. Maybe you have fixed it your whole life. Well, you're about to take one more step. And he's going to lead you into waters that look like, oh my God. And you're going to learn to trust in the living God. Not fix it yourself, not retreat. But I trust you. And I tell you what, a lot of times it looks like certain death. I'm not talking about sickness now. He doesn't lead you into sickness. You understand what we're... I hope... I'm not preaching to kindergarten class here, okay? We're talking about other circumstances where you can't fix it anymore. Or maybe you could, but if you try, he's going to lead you deeper out yet. And even you will come to the place, I can't fix this. That's what he did with Sue and I in several areas of our life, thinking especially of the finances. Hey, I'm pretty good, you know. I'm a budgeter and a fixer, and I like to work, and I've never had a lazy problem type of thing. I was pretty good. But see, when we really started on this journey for him, because of where he's taking us, we had to learn not to trust in ourselves. See, and when it comes to revival, I mean, this is really Jane, see the ball. Because let me just ask you. Hold out your hands. Hold them out there. Look at them just a minute. How many of you right now, in your own strength, and I'm not talking about his strength, you yourself, you got power to open the blind eyes, do you? Well, let's get them in here. We'll just find out. Amen? It's him. We can do nothing except we stay connected to the vine. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Without me, you can do nothing. Boy, that's for sure. But we're not without him. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, stay and die. That we should not trust in ourselves. So what's our trust supposed to be in? But in God, who raises the dead. Do you know what Paul's really saying? You know what God, where God brought Paul? Well, it happened to him once, I think, at Lystra. Wasn't it Lystra where they stoned Paul? And I mean, in those days, those people knew what stoning was. This was not something, you know, in our day, we don't put them to death by stoning. In those days, they did. Those men, the reason they quit stoning Paul and walked off is at least they thought Paul was dead, and I think he was too. Can't prove it. So what happened? The disciples made a circle around him and prayed. Raised him back up. See, and really here, he's saying, I have to trust in God that even if he puts me somewhere that I die, if it's not his will yet for me to go on to heaven, I've got to trust him to the point. He'll raise me from the dead. He'll raise your finances from the dead. He'll raise your rebellious children from the rebellion. You hear me? He'll raise whatever situation he puts you in. He's not put you there to be mean to you. You're there so you can learn to trust in the living God. Amen. Look at verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? In other words, Paul goes, I didn't die. And does deliver us. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. See? You get a track record with God. Not by running from prayer. God, did I say that out loud? I did not say that out loud. See, and I don't want to stand here. I'm trying to be as transparent as I know how to be with you guys. Okay, I'll do it this way too. I, myself, have fallen out of prayer so many times. Had to come climbing back in, crawling. Do you guys, have you ever learned how quick the flesh thickens back up? Am I the only one that knows that? You drop out of prayer just for a little while. Then I'm going to start praying again. And the flesh goes, bet me. Let's go have another snack and another TV show. Or whatever it is you like. No, no, no. That flesh, it'd be almost as tough as the first time you ever tried to start praying. But you got to start again. See, there is a key. What is that key? I read it in a prophecy in a foyer one time. Oh, yeah. Endurance. Endurance is the key. And sometimes you've got to re-endure endurance. That's bad grammar, but you know what I mean? You got to take up the sword and go back into prayer yourself, push away from a few meals again, get the word of God out, press in again. But we are going to come to the place where we trust the living God, no matter where we go, no matter what circumstance He puts us in. Yes, sir. Now, at this point, this is part of the message. I mean, you know, Paul says, don't lose your place. We're preaching right there again in a minute. Why are Sue and I still at the prayer center after 22 years? Can I just tell you the truth? I trust Pastor Dave. Part of the reason why I trust him so much, Pastor Dave is still teachable. I see more of the fruit of the Spirit in Pastor Dave than any man I've ever known. Okay? I do not think Pastor Dave is perfect, and if you tell him that, I'll call you a liar. No. I don't think he's perfect. He doesn't think he's perfect. Dave does not think he's infallible. What? What? He says it all the time. Not all the time, but he says it many times to me. He says, Gary. You know how that soft voice, Gary. Gary, don't stop praying. He says, Gary, there's many things that we don't understand correctly yet. Don't stop praying the mysteries, Gary. Because if it wasn't the case that there's still things we don't understand, we would already be in the revival. Then, see, he says, God's not withholding revival from us. He's pouring through each of us all that He possibly can. Now, that scares me half to death. Scares me. What makes me wonder what all's in there? So Dave, you've heard him say it. He says, I don't care. He says, I am a candidate for truth. He says, and I'll receive it from whatever vessel the Lord sends it. You know, how many times have you heard Dave say, I don't care if he sends a kid by on a tricycle, but he's spouting true revelation knowledge. I'll follow that kid and take notes if it's the truth. I trust Pastor Dave. Now, I found out more than once. Now, what I'm about to say, if you think I'm and because of a conversation we have had sometime in the past, and you think, oh, that Gary's talking about me, I am. And about 12 others, or at least 12 others that I've had that same conversation with. But I am always surprised when I talk with people that have been here 5 years, 10 years, and not necessarily here. I'm talking to the internet assembly also. YouTube, hi, like you, love you. But people that's been around this message for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and I don't ever really, unless they've given me authority to speak in their life, which sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, they'll start saying stuff that is just so off the wall. And I know if they ever heard Dave teach on that, they didn't hear it enough to where it became bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. Because what they're saying does not agree with what's been taught here. Now, I am a good student. I am very fallible. I'll tell you right now, but I am a good student. And when I hear things coming out of your mouth that I know does not agree with what Dave has taught here, it alarms me. Sometimes I can say something about it. Sometimes I can't. It depends on the authority you've given me. You understand that? First off, I need to tell you something that you need to listen to this week. Tim mentioned it this morning service. This is in at daveroberson.org. Now get something to write on if you can. You can get this later. They have put a message up that Dave taught back in 1995, along with a PDF that you can download that has the prophecy, or actually it was a vision. That was the part of the subject matter of that lesson. You need to hear this. It was spoken in 1995, but it is for today. It was for then. But if I got the vote, I'd say it's more for today than it was for 1995. Because we're closer. If you were the devil, and your job is to stop revival, and you saw people that got semi-purged over the years, and many of them left, but the remnant that's still there, and they're getting close to revival, would you pull out your weakest weapons or your strongest weapons at that point? Isn't that, you got to pull out the big guns for these diehards that are still there. Well, this prophecy, this vision and that message that they've taught tells us how to overcome the big gun, one of the big ones. And it's at daveroberson.org. And it is called, the number of it is WR140112. The title is The Severity of Taking Offenses. It's by Dave Roberson. You need to hear that. You need to download the prophecy. The other thing that I want to mention, when I said a while ago that I talk with people that's been here 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they say things to me where I know they either never heard Dave teach that, or they heard it once and they didn't register or something. See, I still trust Pastor Dave. I know he's not infallible. He would not stand here and say he's infallible. But the revelation that I've heard all down through these years, which I am a pretty good student, I agree with every one of them. Okay? Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. We all are in a way as we read Paul's letters, right? Amen? But see, if he said, follow me as I follow the Lord, I'm following Dave as Dave follows the Lord. Best I know how. Now, I'm bringing this up because now where I'm at now is on Dave's website. In the you click media, then you click series. You don't have to go there right now. I'm just going to start listing off some of these. If you have not heard these, and I mean heard them to the point that you could go to another nation and teach it, you have your assignment ahead of you, along with a lot of prayer. You've got to have this. You can't be walking out there with big gaping holes in your foundation and think you're not going to be devil fodder. Man, wherever there's a hole in your foundation of truth, right there is where he's going to attack you. Well, thank God for Dave that for all these years we don't have to spend 40 years praying out the revelations that's already been served up to us on a silver platter. Y'all know all of these are at the internet for free? For free. You can download them, listen to them, get them any way that you need to. Let me just, here. And then say, well, I don't have a computer. Well, bless your darling heart. We got a lending library. Yeah, they got a lending library. Here are just a few. Satan's War Machine. Satan's War Machine. This is just, I've just picked a few in there. Sue and I just stopped by the library. If you say, well, where is it? Well, it's in the bookstore over here. Now, personally, I don't have time for CDs. I'm 67, but to me, this is old technology. Man, I get mine intravenous right off my phone. Plug it into my radio in my car, and I can listen to Dave everywhere I go, you know. Got earphones at the house, and you'll see me praying in tongues listening to Dave a lot of the time. Satan's War Machine. If this is not bone of your bone, come on. If you've never heard it, you need to hear it. If you heard it 15 years ago, or however long you need to hear it again. Gary, how much do you make? You can lend these, get these from the library for free. Turn them back in, get another one. There is no excuse. Dave, Tim, Gary, Mark, Alan, our goal, listen, we're not going to stand there in front of Jesus on Judgment Day and have anybody point at us and say, they had the truth, but I couldn't afford to get it from them. That is not going to be the case. We've done everything we know to do to serve it all up on a silver platter. Satan's War Machine. How about sin shall not have dominion over you? Is that while it does? No, it doesn't. Well, it is right now. It doesn't have to stay that way. And the guy saying this is the guy that smoked for eternity in 3 days. Took me forever to get past some of my stuff. I may still be getting past some stuff. What are they? None of your business. I'm working on my strongholds. I'm saying go work on yours. But you need these foundations. Sin shall not have dominion over you. How about tongues for the believer? Tongues for the believer. If you're still plagued at all with why you should pray in other tongues, let me put it another way. If you have fallen out of prayer and been out of prayer for a long time, when I pray, I'm not even going to go there. I doubt you can listen to this and not get fired up again. It will fire you up again. See, used to, there was a season for years here that seemed like every season, Dave would kind of relay those foundation stones again. Y'all remember? It was tongues for the believer again. It'd be fasting again. It'd be how to meditate the word again. And that went on for more than a decade. And then finally a word came that says we're never going to get there if we keep relaying the foundation. The foundation is laid. Here it is. It's for you guys out there. It's available at the website. It's available here. There, this foundation is laid. Now we're building on that foundation going on into revival. But say, well, I never heard that one. Well, there's gaps in your foundation still. You need these. Okay. Boy, true exaltation. Let me tell you, in the Christian world, there is man's exaltation, and then there's true exaltation. Man's exaltation comes by man's ways. And it's not a whole lot different than how you get exalted in the business world. You schmooze. you, in a way, bribe. You flatter. You climb. Okay? Not a whole lot different. Okay? But there is a true exaltation from God that only He can give. Let me tell you, if you climb man's ladder, you'll most likely fall to man's ways. But when God exalts you and He says, friend, come up higher, nobody can take that away from you. Amen? True exaltation. Got to be in your foundation. It has to be. This one saved my life. I'll just tell you right now. Meditation, imagery, and delivery. The most important thing that Sue and I learned probably here was what praying in other tongues really accomplishes for you and got us praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. So, and I don't even go into all of that. The second most important thing that we learned here, I believe, that helped save our life, was learning how to truly meditate God's Word in whole images. Once I heard this set of tapes right here, once I heard this set of messages, there were tapes then. At that moment, I had 9 books in my library at home, how to meditate God's Word. I went home and threw them all away. Because I'd read them, I knew what they said. They were all wrong, every one of them. But this is right. It will deliver you forever from snippet theology. Snippet theology. I was hooked for years with snippet theology. Luke 6:38, lifted out of its context. I was deceived and acted on that deception for many, many years. The hundredfold, where they lift out that one, shall receive in this life 100-fold. And in the life to come, eternal life, you know. In the age to come, eternal life. Snippet theology, lifted it out, had me deceived, operating in deception, and acting on deception for years and years and years. I could go on. It's not always financial, it's other things. How to meditate God's Word in whole images It's called Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. Do you trust? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to answer this. This is a rhetorical. Don't answer. But I want to say it this way. Do you trust Pastor Dave? Don't answer. I think you do, or you wouldn't be at this church. Okay? If you trust him, can you trust the revelation? You need this on the inside of you. Now, I'm going to say this because I can just hear somebody. Listen to me. I'm not replacing Jesus with Pastor Dave. If Pastor Dave ever leaves the Bible, I'm through following him. But so far, I'm telling you, in 22 years of pretty good study, I haven't found anywhere that he has. I'll go ahead and tell you this. Alan talks about me that I'll sit on a revelation for 3 years or 5 years before I teach it. And that's true. I can tell you of discussions Dave had with me 10 years ago on some things, and I haven't heard him teach them yet. Why? They're not ready yet. Not 100% yet. And he won't teach them. I admire that in a ministry. Not out trying to get the latest and the greatest heavy rivy. Not trying to woo you, you know, wow you with ooh. No, whatever comes out of his mouth, he wants it to be truth and nothing but truth. And that's a man I'm willing to follow. Amen? Did y'all get anything out of that? One other thing. Dave has a book that's not available right now. We don't have any printed copies in the building, I don't believe. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Anyone ever hear of it? I am amazed when I have conversations with people that have been here a long time. And their conversation, I know, if they ever read the book, it wasn't enough. It has not registered in them in lots of areas. That is a book that you can't read just once and get it. When it first came out, and I don't do it still yet today because I don't have it memorized, but you say something opposite to it and I'll know it. I may have to go find it. But I have it in. I would read it, Sue knows, every 6 months again. I did that for years. Reread that book again and again and again. I recommend to you The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Say, well, how can I don't have one. I can't get one. It's available at the website in PDF format that you can download for free. Well, I don't speak English. It's available in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. It's available in Russian. I don't know how many. There's several languages that it's available in. To be honest with you, I prefer the PDF one because I can search it. What did Dave say again about the mind of the Spirit? You can search that and find out quickly. I may not remember what chapter from my own memory, but I can search that phrase and find it in the PDF. See, I don't know what is a PDF. There is a teenager on your street that will explain it to you for $5. Okay. This is part of the message today. Trust. If you're here, I almost take it for granted you trust Pastor Dave. I do. And the very fact that he knows he's not infallible is another reason why I trust him so much. I've never yet found anything in any of those series that do not agree with the Bible. Amen? Amen? So, I prompt. If there's, go through the list of series that are available. And if you don't remember what's on those, or if you never heard them, you have your homework assignment. Get them in you and get them in you to where they're bone of your bone. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. See, this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer me. But what if there was an exam today and your life depended on it? I'm going to pick on Bruce because he loves me. Your life depends on this answer. If you don't get it right, we're going to take your head off right now. What are the four diversities of tongues? Give them to me right now. Don't do it. I know there's a lot of people in here that can. Your life may depend on that. I'm just using that as one example. What are Satan's tactics? Well, This is war. Those are your bullets. The revelations that you have, that's your ammunition. Are you ready? You ready? You better be ready, because the devil's coming. And that prophecy that came right at the end of last year, December 29th, I guess I've got a copy of it. Tim read it this morning. This was the last service of last year. The title we put on this prophecy, it's the year that we sell out to Him. What I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. Yeah. So we already have. Hey, do you have the sentence of death in you, do you? That sentence of death starts with the prayer closet. If you're not, every hour you spend in prayer, your flesh dies more. This year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. There is going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center. With good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It is the year of selling out to Him. Whatever His will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. If we're going into that level of warfare, your guns better be full of bullets. To me, these revelations, that's our bullets. To recognize Satan tactics when they come. To not be confused. Is this God or is this the devil? And know then what to do about it. Go over to chapter 3 for just a moment. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, now notice, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such, here we go again, trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Here we are again. But our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, you could say New Covenant, not of the letter. Now there he's comparing the old covenant, the one that God wrote in tables of stone with His own finger. Not in letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, that's the law, but the Spirit giveth life, that's the new covenant. But if the ministration of death, what is the ministration of death? He just got to telling you, those words that were written in stone. That was a covenant that God made with spiritually dead people. There are so many ministers today trying to put living children of God back under a covenant that was made with spiritually dead people. But that, even that covenant had glory. He said, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, it's pretty obvious. He's talking about the Ten Commandments and the old covenant that started there. If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now, I want to back up here. See, don't we love all this talk about glory? Now, coming over to chapter 4, just understand, we're a ministration of a different covenant, a new covenant. And he said, it's glorious. It's more glorious than the old covenant, right? Are we there? All right, don't you love all that talk about glory? Okay, verse 7, chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How is this manifested in your life, Paul? We are troubled. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I'm telling you, Paul went to the prayer center. I'm going to read this like we normally read it. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Right? Let me read it a little different. How's it going, Paul? We are troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and cast down. Ever feel like that? See, the enemy is trying to get you distressed, to put you in despair, to make you feel like you're forsaken, and that your ministry is destroyed. Maybe your family, your life, whatever, just destroyed. That's the reason for all of that. This is no more complicated than Mark 4. See, you are at a church where you are receiving lots of revelation knowledge. You're either receiving it through the ministers that stand here, but hopefully you're receiving it also in your private times with the Lord through meditation and prayer. In either event, there's a lot of word being sown in your heart. What did Jesus say would happen about the word sown in your heart? What did he say? The enemy is coming. Persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. What is the purpose? It's the word. See, let's say it this way. What he's after is, he hates me. Well, he does. But he doesn't fear you. See, the issue is not really you. What he fears is the word that's in you. That's what makes you dangerous to his kingdom. That's what makes you... Because that revelation... Oh, it's not the revelation even itself. I know lots of guys who have lots of smarts. Lots of revelation. But they don't know the revelator. They don't know the Holy Ghost. See, those revelations are not just for knowledge's sake. They're not just for knowledge's sake. Let me just say that. They're to open the door for the Holy Spirit to be able to manifest the will of God through each and every one of us. It's knowledge that opens you up to Him and how to flow with Him so that God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Amen? That's what makes you dangerous. That's why Paul says everywhere we go, we don't just have trouble. We're troubled on every side. Anyone ever be like that? Am I the only one that knows anything about that? What about Pastor Dave? Has he had a little trouble the last few years in the natural? Dear God, it's amazing to me that the man can walk and not walk into walls and stuff. Talk about surviving some of the best blows. Tim and Leah, others. Mark 4. Yes. Well, eventually I'll get past that, right, Brother Gary? Go to chapter 12. If I just keep on, eventually all that's going to stop, right? Chapter 12. Look at verse 7. Paul says, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the what?" See, those revelations that Paul had, they opened him up for the Holy Ghost to be able to move through his life. For the life of Christ to be not just taught about, but manifested. Everywhere Paul went, revival broke out. Churches were established. People got saved, delivered from demons. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Prophecy began. And he was one of the most dangerous in his lifetime to the devil. Paul was probably the most dangerous man on planet Earth. Why? Because of the abundance of his revelations. And because he had so many revelations, then All those persecutions and tribulations, they stopped, right? No. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. That's a demon. A fallen angel. I think it was probably a hand-picked demon chosen by Satan himself, says, you stop this man at all costs. Here, take a bunch of other devils with you. I don't care how you do it, but unleash hell on this guy. Unleash hell on him. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, you can do it like Dave taught us. Just back up into chapter 11 a little bit. You can see what that devil did to him. So he says here, starting in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. Now notice, I didn't notice this for years. Notice here it says in stripes above measure, but in verse 24 he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. That's a measure. So that means he was striped by other people than just the Jews. We're not told. I don't know what happened in Ephesus. I don't know when they were in prison in Philippi. It says they were beaten. That's probably stripes. Paul says, I have been striped. I mean, five times 39 is a bunch. That's a bunch. But Paul says, I can count that high. I don't think he's exaggerating. He says, I have had so many stripes. The enemy has tried to stop me so many times, I can't even remember. I can't even count. And if we don't pay our Sears bill right on time, we're discouraged. That Gary, he didn't acknowledge me today. He walked right past me, didn't say a word. And that newcomer sat in my seat. I think I'm leaving this church. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths, he means in real peril of death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice, three times was I beaten with rods. I did some research on that. It was common practice in that day for someone who was a traveling person. They would put your feet in the stocks, take sticks or some kind of, you know, whatever heavy rod they had, and they would break the bones in your feet, the idea being you're not going to travel anymore. I mean, you know, God healed him. He continued to travel. Three. Can you imagine? Now, see, we go by this stuff. Unless you stop preaching this name of Jesus, we're going to put your feet in these stocks. See this metal rod I have in my hand? I'm going to break all the bones in your feet. Then they start doing it. I hope I'm strong enough to say, Jesus is Lord, and keep preaching the gospel to them. I would love to think I'm that guy. While they're breaking the bones, I love my feet. I do. They get me everywhere I need to go. As long as I change socks, they smell pretty good. I love my feet. They're nice little feet. I don't want anybody breaking the bones in them. I can't imagine what that would feel like. I've tried to meditate it. God, do I have any spine in me? Gospel spine. That would preach Jesus to them while they break the bones in my feet? And do I trust you that after they break them, you will heal them? And I'll continue traveling and preaching this message. Talk about trust. What would the enemy say to you while they're breaking the bones in your feet? Well, that's the end of your ministry. Back in that day, that's the end of your ministry. It's over. That's it. Yep. Yeah, you used to travel and preach Jesus everywhere that you went. But boy, that's at an end now. You're breaking all the bones in your feet. You know what happens when you break the bones in your feet. You're not going to be able to travel anymore. See, Paul says, I had to learn to trust in somebody besides me. That I learned not to trust in myself, but in him who raises the dead. Well, if he can raise me from the dead, he can sure heal my feet. God. But this is where we are. This is where we're going. I think he wants to finish that part. Verse 25, three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. That's Lystra, if I remember right. Lystra. God, I've tried. Do y'all meditate these things? Do you just read them? Get that series, Meditation, Imagery, Delivery. Man, I have meditated these things. I remember the book of Joshua. He had me on an assignment a long time ago. Sue remembers. And Joshua, man, he wouldn't let me out of Joshua for years. I would meditate those battles. And I mean, sometimes it was more intense than a movie. And my daughters love to take daddy to a scary movie. Don't you? She said right over there. Because I'm more entertainment than the movie is. I am a visual person. And, you know, so just pick one. Okay, so the killer is behind the tree. We know that in the movie. He's behind the tree. He's got the knife, you know. In the movie, they're walking towards the tree and everything in me. I'm meditating. I said, oh my God, I know the killer's right behind there. And all of a sudden, the killer jumps out and goes, ah! And I know I'm sitting in an air-conditioned building with my daughters eating popcorn, but I'm the guy that goes, ah! And the popcorn goes everywhere. And my heart's beating and I'm going, it's a killer. It's a killer. Do you know you can meditate? I've meditated Joshua. I have been on those fields. I could taste the sand in my mouth being kicked up from the feet. The swords, the clang. I can hear the clanging of swords. I can hear the agony of men giving the death rattle. And I could taste blood in my own mouth. I've meditated it to that extent. I have to come back. It's like being in a movie. Man, I love meditating God's Word. I love meditating God's Word. I've meditated this once I was stoned. Not only here, but also with Stephen. Wasn't he the one that was stoned to death? I've tried to just stop. Let me think about this. They're doing this because of my witness for Jesus and because of the abundance of my revelations. I've never had anybody throw a rock at my head. But I've been in fist fights. Quite a few, actually. Remember, I moved. We went to a minimum of 13 different schools between the first and the sixth grade. I was always the new kid in town. We had to prove yourself, you know. I wound up fighting it almost every time that we went anywhere. Because it's usually midterm. I didn't have any friends, you know. They pick on you. I have been in a lot of fights. Some of them I won. Some of them I didn't win. But I have been in enough fights where I've had my teeth get loose in my mouth. You know, you ever get hit hard? Where it loosens your teeth? You swallow your own blood, taste it. And that's just from a fist fight. But here's a group of guys and they got stones. Probably bigger than your fist, I don't know. And they got a whole stack of them and they start throwing them. I can't imagine what it was like that first one to hit you right smack in the head somewhere. God, that has to hurt. And then the chest and the shoulder and then it dawns on you. They're not going to stop. In my case, it'd be, I'm never going to see Sue again. Not unless he raises me. This is my last day on earth, most likely. I've tried to meditate it. Would I at some point say, I recant? I won't preach it anymore? Would I? I hope to God I wouldn't. But I don't know. So what I've got to do is come to the place where I don't trust myself. Because I don't know that I could ever trust myself right there. I have to come to the place where I trust in Him. To the point that if they do kill me, if it's His will, He'll raise me from the dead. Just like He did Paul at Lystra. Later on, Paul went back and preached there again. He wasn't afraid of those guys. Kill me again. Come on, I dare you. Nah, he didn't say that. But his attitude was, I'm coming in there preaching again. I'm not afraid of you. We've got to trust in the living God. who raises the dead. I'm having a good time. I don't know if you are or not. Once I was stoned, three times. I suffered shipwreck. I hope none of this happens to any of us. But it's good meditation material. Notice this, a night and a day. I have been in the deep. Let's meditate. The ship sank. You're hanging onto a board. It's dark. And at this moment, there's no ships of rescue on the horizon. What's that fin that just swam by? What's that noise? Theme from Jaws, you begin to hear it right there. You know. All night. 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock. I'm trying to go slow. Look on the horizon. 1 o'clock. Which, it probably daylight. My Lord will send deliverance at daylight. Daylight finally comes. But it says a night and a day. What kind of thoughts would go through your mind? But remember, it's not about you. The enemy, it's really not. The enemy, it's not about you. It's about the word that's in you. It's about the revelation that you have. The enemy is trying to stop you. See, even that's not correct. The enemy is trying to stop the power of the word that is in you. Here, we would phrase it this way. All that stuff that the enemy is sending against you, all that trouble, we could go back to it. Trouble, distress, perplexities, all of that stuff. It's not about you. It's about revival. At all costs, he has to stop revival. That's why that message that Dave taught, the severity of taking offense, that's one of the number one ways that the enemy, especially this year, is going to do his best to remove a lot of people. Yes, sir. I'll preach this. Preach to red this time. I have been so deceived. I have had to humble myself so many times here at this church. When Sue and I walked, the day we walked through the doors of that church out there, I believed so much wrong stuff. A lot of it was in the financial arena. I truly believed what I had been taught by the TV preachers. Now see, even as I say this, there's people that's going to be offended when I say it because they still believe what's taught by the TV preachers. And I'm sorry for you. Pray, you won't believe it very long. So much deception, I believed. I told Sue's own sister one time in my house, God himself can't help you because you don't tithe. Yeah. Now, doesn't that sound awful? That is taught every Sunday on almost every TV station. They just don't phrase it quite that strong. I don't like mamby-pamby wishy-washy, you know. Let's get it out on the table. Let's go fight it out in the parking lot, but let's get this over. Okay? Yeah, I told her, I said, because I had been taught that by the TV preachers mostly, not Michael, thank God, but the TV preachers, they had me convinced. And I was just teaching what I'd been taught. I didn't even understand that we weren't under that old covenant anymore. We've had people leave the church because I teach that you're not under the tithe anymore. Now, see, if you leave here saying, does Gary don't believe in tithing, I will smack you. No, I will love you. I believe. See, the word tithe really only means 10%. And I think 10% is a good place to start on your giving. But what I do believe is that we've been delivered from the curse of the law. Jesus has been made a curse for us. We've been redeemed from that curse and he has made us joint heirs with him. That's why he said, all things that the Father has is mine, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. Why? Because we've been made joint heirs. We function in a different manner. than they did under the old covenant. But the point I'm trying to make here, get over yourself. I've been deceived. I'm going to leave the church. Oh, shut up. I have had to humble myself on the tithing and on the hundredfold return. And oh God, Luke 6:38. Dave killed me dead the first time I ever heard him teach on Luke 6. And I found out what Luke 6:38 was really about. I mean, for years I taught it. I'm so glad there's no tapes available from the 80s. You wouldn't believe those messages. You'd hear my voice, but you say that can't be him. But it was me. Give. I was as worse as any of them. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know. God. And you go, what's wrong with that? It's called meditation, imagery, and delivery. If you don't know what's wrong with that, you got big gaps in your foundation stones. So what I'm saying, even when it comes, and I'll go ahead and admit this to you. I'm sure I'm deceived today. And again, it goes right back to that statement. Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. There's obviously a lot of things that we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we would already be in the revival. Now, I do believe this. I don't believe I'm deceived about anything that Dave has already taught. I agree with all of those, and I think we will continue. You know what the Lord told Dave? Remember on the born-again trail? And he said, everything you want. That basically, God said, that revival is on this path. The born-again trail. And Dave's going, well, Dave phrased it like this. He would go to John, in chapter 14, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. Dave said in that discussion, well, Father, we're not arguing with you about this. We believe this, that the works that Jesus did, we're supposed to do those same works. But Father, intellectually we believe that, but it seems like the journey from knowing that to walking in that transformation journey seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. You remember what the Lord said to him? Bring up the buckets for a love offering of 1995. I'll remind you. I told you I'm a good student. You need to be a good student. Get this stuff in you. What the Lord said to him, he said, the answers are in the verses that nobody teaches. You remember? And why don't they teach, or if they do teach it, it is obviously wrong. Why don't they teach it? Because they don't know what it means. Amen? There are mysteries here that we're still praying out. But all of these prophecies, you ought to listen to the message that Tim gave this morning, and I think he's going to be doing Wednesday night, we'll see. But I'm telling you, we're close. All of these prophecies are coming together like a laser beam and focusing on revival in a way that I have not heard in 22 years. We are close. Get your foundation stones filled. Go to Dave's website. I'll put these back in the library after the service. Go to the library. If there's anything there that you've not heard, or if you can't remember what's on there, then you need to get it in you. It needs to be bone of your bone. If you've been knocked out of prayer, get back into prayer. And be sure you listen to Dave's teaching, the severity of taking an offense, the one that they've got at the website right now, and that prophecy. Yes, sir. I will briefly describe the prophecy the way I remember it. The prophecy goes like this. Dave saw a power structure. He says, I hate to use the word triangle, but it resembled a triangle, or a pyramid, actually. I hate to use the word pyramid, but it resembles a pyramid. And it was equal on all sides. He said the person at the top was the one that God gave the vision to. Well, obviously that's Dave. Dave is the one who received that assignment. Go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Okay? That's Dave at the top. But underneath him, there were two or three stones, four, whatever, to make another row. And then underneath that row was another row of more stones. And underneath, just like you'd come down with a pyramid. Amen? Well, the enemy, first, he tries to knock the top off the pyramid. Has y'all noticed any warfare against Pastor Dave? Dave is still there. Dave is still contending for revival. So then the enemy, he tries to come up through the bottom. And he tries to destroy. And how he primarily does it is by offenses. Getting people to take offense. Now, this is important. Dave says, what the enemy is really after is for the top to come down when you take an offense and kick you in the face. He says, if you become, whether the top one or any of the other ones, if it's done like that where we come kick you in the face, then we're operating below revival level. So Dave says, way back in 95, he says, I'm not coming down to kick you in the face. And as long as I'm not doing that, then don't you be so offended that you leave. Because if you are, then you're operating below revival status. How'd I do? That's pretty good. Understand, when offenses come, something that would separate you, it's not about you. It's about revival. The enemy's just trying to move stones out from beneath the top so that eventually the whole structure would crumble. I've made up my mind. Offend me. I don't know if I'm unoffendable. Probably not. Probably offendable. But I'm not leaving. You hear me? I'm not leaving. If I have to pray and... Hey, I remember when God was dealing with Brother Hagin about worry. Remember what, you know, come to that verse, you know, that don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. He said, well, I can't do that. I'm from a family of champion warriors. I was trained how to worry. God says, you got to learn how to not worry. You got to cast the whole of your care on me. Do you remember that story? He said, he'd go to bed at night. He'd cast the care on the Lord. I don't worry, Lord. He'd get into bed. Wouldn't be in bed 1 minute and the care would be back on him. Have to get back beside the bed, cast it again 10 times, 11 times, till finally drift off to sleep. We're going to have to do that about being offendable. If Paul could continue after broken feet, broken feet, lashed so many times, he can't even count the stripes, a day and a night in the deep, and the enemy all that time going, where is your God now? If he could survive, we can survive. They didn't speak to me today. They walked right past me, didn't say nothing. Somebody sat in my chair. They did not receive my revelation. I could go on and on. Come on, like kindergarten. Let's not be like that. So what is the message today? I don't know. You put in whatever you want. Trust! Who do you trust? We're coming to that place where we trust Him no matter what. And that means the devil is going to throw all hell. Aren't you glad you go to this church? I am. I'd rather fight the fight than live in some little nothing that's not doing nothing. And there's a lot of good churches in town. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot. But hey, if they're getting people saved and healed and filled and whatever, God bless them. But I am glad to be on the front lines, pressing for something that will have an impact on all eternity. Let's learn to trust in the living God. No matter who offends you, no matter the troubles that come on all sides, no matter the emotions that just say quit, let's trust in the living God who delivers from the dead and will continue to deliver us. Did you get anything out of that? I did myself. Glory to God. I like it. Praise God.